Now let's turn our attention to the scripture passage for today's sermon, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13 to 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, where you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Reverend Winston, please.
Thank you, Claire, for your prayer and reading God's word to us. I'm experiencing a little bit of lag. Hopefully, it's all clear on your end. It'd be good for all of us to have God's word in front of us as I work through today's passage. And let me commit our time once again to God. Father, we do thank you that we have this privilege to meet together via Zoom. To be a church, to be a community, to come together and sit under your word. Will you pour your spirit into all of us? And will you please teach us, Lord, and point us to the hope that we have in Jesus and teach us how we ought to live with hope, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, hope is what we've been talking about for the last few weeks as we've been working through 1 Peter. And hope is such an important aspect of life, isn't it? It's been said that where there is hope, there is life. And where there is no hope, there is no life. In life, it's so important to have hope. Hope really does affect the quality of our lives. I remember a few years ago, a friend of mine was sharing with me how devastated he was when his mother said to him that she didn't want to fight the cancer anymore. When she looked at the future ahead and she saw that it offered her very little but pain and weakness and suffering, she saw that her dreams had been destroyed when all she could feel was the loss. Well, she felt hopeless and she had given up on living. It was devastating for my friend to hear that her mom was so hopeless, feeling so hopeless. And this is why it's so difficult for people who suffer from depression. Hope has this great impact on the quality of our life. Now, I'm not here this morning so that I can help people deal with their issues of depression. That is a very serious issue. and probably requires more time than I have with you this morning, and probably needs somebody who's going to be more helpful than I am. You probably would be good for you if you're struggling with depression through lockdown. Please do make sure you talk to your GP, talk to a professional. And of course, I, along with your the other pastors, are more than happy to spend some time to sit with you, to hear how you're going and to pray with you. Do reach out. We'll love to do that for you during this time of lockdown, which is going to be for a while, as we can see. But what I really want us to focus on this morning is how hope impacts our life, how the Christian hope impacts the way that we live. And the key idea I want us to take away this morning is that how we hope should shape how we live. So we've been working through the first chapter of 1 Peter, and in the first 12 verses, we've been pretty careful and we've slowly taken you through this incredible hope that has been given to us, this certain and unfading hope that we have in Jesus. It's a hope that is alive. It's alive because Jesus is alive. For he died for our sins and he rose from the dead. And we who have put our trust in Jesus, we have been given an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for us. And this hope, this Christian hope, should shape how we live our lives in the time that we have left on earth. So let's dig into our section now from verse 13. And it opens with an important connecting word, therefore, or because of the hope that I've just spoken about in the first 12 verses, because of this hope that we have in Christ, you know, let's do this. Let's respond. Let's live this way. And there are five things which Peter calls us to do with our lives in response to the hope that we have. So there it is on the screen. Thanks, Yong. One, set your hope. That's the first thing. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Two, be holy. 1 Peter 1, verses 14 to 16. Three, we ought to fear God. Verse 17 to 21. Four, we ought to love one another. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 to 2, verse 1. And then finally, five, we ought to crave spiritual milk. Chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. So Yong's going to leave it there for a little bit so you can write that down if you need to. But because of the time that we have, we don't have unlimited time. Probably that's worth five sermons, to be honest, right there. So I can't cover them all in detail. So I'm going to just go through hopefully sufficiently points 1, 2, and 5. Set your hope, be holy, and crave spiritual milk. I'll let you work through the other two in your own time. Feel free to come and chat with me if you're trying to understand what those mean. Happy to listen, happy to chat, happy to discuss them with you. So 1, 2, and 5 for today. And so the first thing which Peter calls us to do is to set our hope. He says in verse 13, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. Now, this is such a helpful verse when we think about the Christian hope, because it teaches us how to hope. Hope is not just something that we have, or it's not just something that we give intellectual like acknowledgement to. But hope is also something that we do. And in verse 13, Peter teaches us three important aspects of how to hope. And the core of it is actually right in the middle there, where he says we are to set our hope. In other words, we are to fix our hope, or we are to stand firm in this hope and not be moved away from this hope. So he calls us to set our hope. Now notice how we are to set our hope. In the phrase just before, he says, it is with minds that are alert and fully sober. Now, what does that mean? I think reasonable translation, but to really get the depth of what Peter is talking about here, I think it's helpful to share with you what the original Greek is actually talking about. The original Greek, the phrase there actually, the minds that are alert, it literally is, gird up the loins of your mind. That's what it's literally saying. Gird up the loins of your mind. What does that mean? Well, gird up your loins. In the Middle East, even to this day, not just women, but you can see men wearing long robes down to their feet. And that's their usual daily attire. And if they wanted to go somewhere quickly, they had somewhere to go to, and they needed to get there reasonably quickly, or maybe it was quite a long journey, well, what they would do is they would lift up the bottom of their robes and bring it up to their waist, and they'll tie the robe around their waist so that their legs would be free to move quickly. So that's what it meant to gird up your loins. And here Peter is using this as an analogy of preparing the mind, being alert with your mind and being prepared as you set out on an important journey. Interestingly enough, that phrase, gird up your loins, was used in Exodus when God is calling the people to gird up your loins as you quickly leave Egypt and head towards the promised land. Gird up your loins. You are on an important journey. And so be prepared on this journey. Be intentional. Be focused with minds that are alert and fully sober. Set out for the hope that is before you. Go, grab hold of it. It's not just something that we have and we are stagnant, but how we hope is that we set our minds towards it. We are on this journey, determined to get to a destination. And that is the next part of this verse. We are given the destination. Set your hope on what? On the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. Jesus is the final destination, when he will return on that last day and he will gather up all of God's people and he'll bring them into his home. And we will be God's people forever. And God himself will be with us and be our God. And on that day, he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old things have passed away. That is the destination of our hope, where we will be resurrected as Jesus was resurrected, and we will live in an unbroken and wonderful relationship with God, our Father in heaven, forever. That is the hope that we are to fix our eyes upon. And that is the journey that we are on in our life. We are not stagnant. Hope is not stagnant, but we are on this journey. It's something. Hope is something that we do. We are heading on this journey. We are fixing our mind's eye on heaven above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So that is how to hope as a Christian. And what Peter wants to teach us is how we hope ought to shape how we live. And so the next command he gives us is to be holy, verses 14 to 16. To be holy literally means to be separate, to be set apart, to be different. Different from what? To be different from the world. We are called to be set apart from the world. So there we have it, verses 14 to 16. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So the first thing I want you to notice there is that Peter says that we are obedient children. Once we weren't obedient children, once we did not know God as our Father and we did not treat God as our Father. And Peter tells us now that you are a child of God because of Jesus, then we should stop conforming to the evil desires that we once had when we lived in ignorance. I think that verse is, probably more helpfully translated in the ESV, where it says, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. So we ought to be different. We used to live in ignorance. We used to just give in, gratifying our sinful desires. But no longer, that should be no longer. Now we do know God as our Father. We ought to be different. We ought to live differently. We ought to be set apart from the world. We are not to live as the world does, gratifying its own sinful desires, seeking pleasure and satisfaction in the here and now. But we are children of God. Our eyes are fixed on God, fixed on heaven. God who is holy, a God who calls us and calls us to be holy like he is holy. We're called not to be like the world, but to be like him. This world is so different to God. And God is set apart from this world. This world is created, but God is the creator. This world is temporary and perishing, but God is eternal. This world is fallen and decaying, but God is perfect. This world is uncertain and always changing. And we can see that in this time of COVID, this who knows what's going to happen? Who knows if we're going to get out of lockdown? And who knows if there's going to be another strain that's going to bring us back into lockdown? Who knows if this vaccine is going to be good enough to, help us get through the next strain? There's so much uncertainty, but in this world that is so uncertain, we have a God who is sovereign, who's always in control, and who's always the same. This world is lost and in darkness, but God is the light and God is the savior. You see, God is different to this world. And we are called not to be like this world, but to be like God. We who are his children, we do not belong to this world, but we belong to God. We are called to come out of this world and to be like God in this world. And this is where our hope in a holy God changes everything about how we ought to live in this life. Once we didn't know God, so it was easy, it was obvious for us. We didn't know any better. We just put our hope in the things that we saw around us. We put our hope in this life and in the things of this world. We'll put our hope in created things rather than in the creator. We'll put our hope in our career or in relationships, in wealth, in possessions. But Peter says our hope is different. Our hope is in God, a God who is holy and different and set apart from this world. And we who are his children are called not to be like this world, but to be like him. Now, if we're honest, that's not easy, is it? To be holy as God is holy, to be different to this world, it's not easy. What actually is easy is to be like the world. If we're honest, that's the easy thing, because there is so much around us that's tangible that we can grasp and we can hold on to. Things that we can say, well, if I can have that, that might give me satisfaction and pleasure. And of course, we all like to be liked. We all want people to like us. And if we're too different to the world, well, then people might not like us as much as we want them to like us. And so it's easy to be like them because we want them to like us. And as, you know, Christians who live in this country, Australia, that's becoming more and more secular. Well, if we are truly obedient children, faithful to our Father, well, then what will happen is that as we become more like God, we'll look less and less like the world. And that's where the struggle can be. When we want the world to like us, we want to be accepted by the world, it's easy to become like the world. But the reality is the world's becoming more and more different to what God wants us to be like. We live in a world where sex before marriage, well, it's normal. It's a given. Living together before you're married, it's normal. We live in a world where greed is normal. We live in a world where storing up treasures on earth is not only normal, but it's something to be admired. Wow, look at what that person has. But if our hope is not in this world, where do we go? How should we hope? Our hope is not in this. What do we hope for? Well, we've been given this incredible hope in Jesus. Our hope is not in this world, but it's in Jesus and in the life to come. We do not live anymore to satisfy our sinful desires, gratifying what we want in this life, but we long for the life to come. And so we are called to live differently to this world, to be set apart from this world. How we hope shapes how we live. And this leads me to the final point that I want to bring us to. Chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. And this is where Peter says this: like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. Now, I want us to start with the last phrase there. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. Well, how have we tasted that the Lord is good? What's he talking about there? Well, what Peter's referring to here is really everything that he's been talking about in chapter 1, this wonderful message of God's eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. That is why God is so good. And in other words, now that you've tasted this goodness of God, you've tasted how good God is, now that you've tasted a little bit of how good it is to have this hope in God in the life to come, now that you know that you've been bought by this precious blood of Jesus and it's been revealed to you, that is the hope that awaits you, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Well, we ought to crave this knowledge, crave this message of hope even more and more. like newborn babies, crave their spiritual milk. Well, we ought to crave, like newborn babies who crave their mother's milk, we ought to crave pure spiritual milk, which is the word of God, the message of salvation. We ought to crave it so that by it we may grow up in our salvation. You see, hope is something that shouldn't just be stagnant. It's not just an intellectual thing that we have, but it is something that ought to grow. Our hope ought to be growing. We are on this journey of growth towards what we'll finally have fully fulfilled in Jesus one day. So we who have tasted the goodness of God, the goodness of his kindness and his love and his sacrifice and his suffering for us, we've tasted how good God is, then well, we should long and crave to know this more and more, this knowledge of God and his love for us, to know the knowledge of his wonderful salvation for us, the joy that is set before us. Now, I wonder if, as you're listening here this morning, whether you have perhaps forgotten that God is good. You've forgotten the hope that you once tasted and once saw as so beautiful and wonderful. The certainty of your future in heaven with God. Perhaps you've forgotten that. You had it once, but now that hope seems so distant. Well, then, if that's you, there's a good chance that one of the reasons why you're feeling like that, you're feeling like hope is just an intellectual exercise rather than this thing that is part of your life, part of your soul, part of your journey, part of your heart. Well, it's a good chance it's because you haven't been feeding your soul with God's word. And the reason why I say there's a good chance that's the reason why is because that has been the experience in my life. The times when I've been spiritually dry, and yes, pastors are not immune to that either. The times that I've been spiritually dry, it's been times when I have been complacent, where I have been away from God's word, when I have been lazy with my devotional life. And when I reflect on those times, it wasn't because I suddenly made this decision, oh, from today on, I'm determined not to read my Bible anymore. No. Actually, when I reflect on those times, it was usually because I had become complacent and I had placed my hope on something else other than on God. And I'd become busy with other things, other pursuits. And it's very easy to become busy with different things, isn't it? Busy working, busy studying, busy playing, but not busy seeking God. You see, we can be busy doing so many things and even be busy doing ministry, and don't be shocked. There have been times when I'm just busy doing ministry, but not wholeheartedly seeking the Lord and enjoying him as I ought to have been. And so maybe that's you this morning. And if it is you, then I want to really encourage you to crave the pure spiritual milk, which is the word of God. And yes, you know, we pastors, we preach about this all the time. It's probably, you know, every second week, it's this same application. You know, make sure, you know, you read God's word. You know, spend time with God regularly. You hear it all the time. And to be honest, we make no apologies, because really it is irreplaceable. It's so important. This time with God is just so crucial for us to stay on this journey, to keep, you know, steadfast, setting our hope on God. And so we really want to encourage you to spend time to ponder and appreciate and reflect on and take hold of the kindness of God, the sacrifice and the patience and the love which God has poured out on you through his son Jesus. You know, really enjoy and savor all the goodness, tasting how good God is. The Bible, you see, it's not just a word for the godly and the spiritually strong men and women, but it is a word for the sinners. It's a word for the strugglers in this world. And if that is you, then let me encourage you to take hold of God's word, crave it, and feed your weary, parched soul with God's word and quench it with the goodness that comes to you from his word. And for those of you who know this hope, who are confident in this hope, let me encourage you to keep growing in this hope. Don't be stagnant. Don't just stay there, but keep growing in it. You know, keep diving into God's word and absorbing all the beauty that God wants to show you about himself. And let us not just keep it to ourselves, but let us hold this hope out to this world. We live in a time that's just so uncertain with what's going on in lockdown. Will we ever get out of it? And this suffering, this calamity that's happened in Afghanistan, and will we ever be safe in this world? There's so much uncertainty and people are crying out. People are protesting. We want answers. We want a solution. We want to get out of this. Where are we going to be? Well, what people really need is that they need hope. So let us hold this word of hope out to this world in need. We have tasted how good this word of hope is. And that word is Jesus. Let's hold him out to the world. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that in this time of uncertainty and lockdown, we thank you that we have a sure and steadfast hope in Jesus, who is an anchor for our soul. Father, we pray, God, that as we reflect on your goodness and on your love, the hope that is guaranteed for us, eternity that has been won for us by the blood of Jesus, the life that will be everlasting for us. We will be resurrected. Lord, help us never to lose sight of this hope. Center us each day in this hope, Lord. Fix it in our hearts, Lord, and help us to keep growing in this hope, living this hope out in our lives, living, Lord, for you, not for this world. And in this way, may we bring you glory, and may we be a light in this world that is in darkness. In Jesus' name, amen.